In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. I've been talking about Pentecost, yes, Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were in one accord, in one place. The Spirit of God comes when we are one heart and one mind together. But if we are divided, the Spirit of God does not come. We need to be centered upon Jesus, and then the Spirit of God comes. We need the Holy Spirit. Then verse 2, "Suddenly there came a sound from heaven, like a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting." Oh, it was the wind of the Spirit. It was the wind of the Holy Spirit. "And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them." I would be afraid today that if it happened to us and these tongues of fire fell upon us, what would we do? Would we call 911? Or would we say, "Hallelujah, Pentecost, God has a plan, God is mighty, Jesus is glorified"? What would we do if this exact same thing happened to us? I'm afraid that many of us would call 911 to get the fire out. And you know what? If we've ever needed anything in the church, it's fire. It's fire. It's zeal, the zeal of the Lord, that people need to hear from the preacher so that it catches fire in the congregation. "And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." They began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Oh yes, this is what happened. But I want to look at Genesis right now. Genesis 11, 1 through 9. "The whole world spoke the same language, using the same words, while the people were migrating in the east. And they came upon a valley in the land of Shinar, and settled there. They said to one another, 'Come, let us mold bricks and harden them with fire.' They used bricks of stone and bitumen for mortar. Then they said, 'Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top to the sky. We want to make a name for ourselves.'" This is so sad, you see. This is so sad. They wanted to make a name for themselves. I'm telling you, it is not making a name for ourselves. It is making a name for Jesus. The Holy Spirit says He will glorify Jesus. I'm afraid of people who want to make a name for themselves. They are barking up the wrong tree. They are in Babel. I do not want to make a name for myself. I've told you the story about what happened in St. Louis many years ago. I received a telephone call. And the man on the other end was a young man and said, "We're taking you off of St. Louis because we want to make a name for ourselves. We want ministries that are big and you're just little. And you're going to finish in 2 weeks." And I said to him, "Sir, let me tell you, you're planting stones, and stones don't grow." And he listened to me, and I said, "Do you know, just the other night I received a call at 3 o'clock from St. Louis. A man knew that he could come and speak with me even at 3 o'clock in the morning." You're responsible for all these little people, these broken people, because, you see, I'm not here to make a name for myself. I'm here to proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ. And people know that. They know that in their spirit. Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower in the sky and so make a name for ourselves. Yeah. That is the essence of sin. We make a name for ourselves, for our ministry. It's not my ministry, it's Jesus Christ. I want to glorify Jesus Christ because the Spirit glorifies Jesus Christ. He doesn't glorify me. He doesn't glorify our broadcast. But you know what? That our broadcast would contain every word to glorify Jesus, that Jesus would be better known and better loved. The Lord came down to see the city and the tower that the people had built. Then the Lord said, if now, while they are one people, all speaking the same language, they have started to do this, nothing will later stop them from doing whatever they presume to do. Let us then go down there and confuse their language so that one will not understand another. Thus says the Lord. The Lord scattered them from there all over the earth, and they stopped building the city. And it is why it is called Babel, because there the Lord confused the speech of the whole world. It was from that place that he scattered them all over the earth. Let me tell you that this whole experience of Pentecost undoes the experience of Babel. Because when the Spirit comes, he will glorify Jesus. And now who were there? Now there were dwelling at Jerusalem devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this noise was abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded because they heard every man speaking in his own language. See, it's the opposite of Babel. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one another, behold, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how we hear every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born, Parthians and Medes and Elamites and dwellers of Mesopotamia, in Judea, in Cappadocia, in Pontus and in Asia, in Phrygia and Pamphylia, in Egypt and all parts of Libya, about Cyrene, strangers from Rome, Jews and proselytes. So we see that all these people were there on the day of Pentecost. Why? Because they were celebrating the giving of the law, L-A-W. Exodus 19. I'm going to read from Exodus 19. Moses went up the mountain to God. Then the Lord called to him and said, thus shall you say to the house of Jacob, tell the Israelites, you have seen for yourselves how I treated the Egyptians and how I bore you up on eagle's wings. You know, they passed through the sea and Egypt drowned and brought you here to myself. Therefore, if you hearken to my voice and keep my covenant, you will be a special possession, dearer to me than all the other people, though all the earth is mine. If you hearken to my voice, obedience, and to my covenant, you will be a special possession to me, dearer to me than all the people, though the earth is mine, all the earth. You shall be to me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. That is what you must tell the Israelites. So Moses went and summoned the elders of the people. When he set before them all that the Lord had ordered him to tell them, the people all answered together, everything the Lord has said we will do. Would that be true? Everything the Lord has said we will do. We will be obedient, yes. They're just like us, you know what? We have obedience for a second, and then when something comes down the road, we choose to go the other way. It's just the way it is. That's why we need to repent every single day, that we have chosen our own way and we have not chosen the way of the Lord. On the morning of the third day, there were peals of thunder and lightning, and a heavy cloud over the mountain. That's the cloud of glory. And a very loud trumpet blast, so that all the people in the camp trembled. But Moses led the people out of the camp to meet God, and they stationed themselves at the foot of the mountain. Mount Sinai was all wrapped in smoke, for the Lord came down in fire. The smoke rose from it as though from a furnace, and the whole mountain trembled violently. The trumpet blast grew louder and louder while Moses was speaking, and God answered him with thunder. When the Lord came down to the top of Mount Sinai, he summoned Moses to the top of the mountain. Why? Because he's going to give Moses the Ten Commandments. Why were they all in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost? They were celebrating the giving of the Ten Commandments, the giving of the law. Oh yes, that's what they were doing on the day of Pentecost. But you see, we are not given the law on the day of Pentecost. We are given the Spirit. The Lord comes to us. The Lord fills us. The Lord gives us the grace to live the way we should live, by the power of God. The Lord comes to us in the Holy Spirit, and He makes Jesus our contemporary. If Jesus is known to you as a person, the Holy Spirit is doing His job to make Jesus your contemporary. I tell you, we are living in the day of Pentecost, and I told you there is a cost in Pentecost. We just do not fool around with the Holy Spirit. We surrender our lives to Jesus Christ, that it's no longer I who live, but the Lord Jesus who lives in me. Oh yes, with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, one is given ministry. As I said yesterday, no one taught me this, that I would have a ministry. No one taught me this, but the ministry was not to make a name for myself. The ministry was to make a name for Jesus Christ. This gospel preaching time is not because I want you to say, isn't Father Tom the best? No, I'm not the best, but I'm telling you, I know who is the best. His name is Jesus, and He loves you. Remember, He called those whom He desired. You were one of the people whom He desired, and He called you to Himself. That's the real thing. That's the real thing. What else do we hear on the day of Pentecost? From the book of Joel, thus says the Lord, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Oh yes, Lord, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us today in ways that we could never imagine or think. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. And your young men shall see visions. Oh, yes. If you are old, you're going to dream dreams if the Spirit dwells within you. If you are young, you're going to see visions. Yes. And upon my servants and my maid servants in those days, I will pour out my Spirit. Amen. And I will work wonders in the heavens and on the earth. Blood and fire and columns of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood at the coming of the day of the Lord, the great and terrible day. Then everyone shall be rescued who calls upon the name of the Lord. What's His name? His name is Jesus. Everyone will be saved who calls upon the name of the Lord. There is salvation in no other name but the name of Jesus. No other name. We are not saved by the church. We are saved in the church. It is the name of Jesus that brings us salvation. And if we are brought salvation through the name of Jesus, my friends, then we build up the church. That's the way it is. We build up the church as we call upon the name of the Lord and are saved. And on Mount Zion there shall be a remnant, as the Lord has said, and in Jerusalem survivors whom the Lord shall call. beautiful, beautiful. Oh, yes. When was the last time you prophesied? When was the last time you had dreams? When was the last time you saw visions? When was the last time? This is promised because the gift of the Holy Spirit has been given to us. We just need to know. I remember a vision that I had. It was very interesting. I saw a missionary family. I don't remember where they were, but they were under persecution. I'll never forget it. And I saw the man, the woman, and his daughter, and they were not Catholic. I knew that they were not Catholic, but they were preaching the gospel, and as a result, they were going to be persecuted. And the man hid his family in a certain closet and hid himself, that when the people came, they did not find him. I said at that moment at the prayer meeting, we need to pray for somebody right now who's in trouble. So we began to pray for somebody who was in trouble. It was very interesting. I asked the intercession of Isaac Jogues. Isn't that amazing? He was one of the Jesuits that preached to the Indians in Canada and in parts of the United States, Isaac Jogues. But, you know, I started to think, was that vision real? Was that vision real? Well, the next day, Jack comes into the house. He says, I have a relic of somebody. He was not at the prayer meeting the night before. He said, I've never heard of this person. His name, I looked, I said, it's Isaac Jogues. I said, we had him last night. We prayed that he would pray for these people. You see, it was a real vision. It was a real vision. You might say, you know, I don't believe in relics. Well, I remember the time when they threw a dead man's body into Elisha's bones, and the dead man came alive. He stopped being dead. I tell you, there was power in the bones of Elisha. There was power in the bones of Elisha. We need to have that power, not in our bones when we die, but in our hearts as we live for the Lord. Today I ask you, who are you living for? Who am I living for? Are we living for the Lord? Can we say, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me? Maybe we can't say it completely, but can we say it better than last year? I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. In the life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Can we say it as if we want it to be? That it's not really real yet, but I want this to be. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Or I might want it to be. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. You see, do you want that? If you do, you just pray it with me. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. We're going to look at another reading that the church gave us for Pentecost. Romans 8:22-27. We know. I love that. It's not we think or we wonder. We know. There are certain things that we know. I know I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I do not think it. I know that Sunday morning or afternoon, God baptized me in the Holy Spirit. It has nothing to do with thinking or wondering or imagining. I know that God poured out His Spirit upon me. I know. Then I started to see the different ways that He was working. We know that all creation is groaning in labor pains, even until now. What are labor pains? In other words, to give birth to something. Yes, labor pains are very, very painful, but it's worth it because look what happens. You get a new baby. And not only that, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit, we also groan within ourselves and we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies, that yes, that not only will our souls and spirits be saved, but that we will have resurrection bodies. Hallelujah. For in hope we were saved. Now hope that sees is not hope. For who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait with endurance. That's right. In the same way, the Spirit comes to the aid of our weaknesses. Why? For we do not know how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes with inexpressible groanings. Korabashandaradakiria, Rikondorabasitradosura, Ramboria Sikariandaradothiria. Oh, the unspeakable groanings of the Spirit. Oh, my people, hear my word today. It is my word that I will raise you out of your discouragement. I will raise you out of your fear. I will raise you out of your inability to do things. I will raise you out because I am the Lord and there is no other. Oh yes, know today that I have you in my heart. I choose you in my heart. I called you whom I desired. Oh yes, oh yes, Lord, oh yes. And one who searches the heart knows what is the intention of the Holy Spirit, because he intercedes for the holy ones according to God's will. That when we pray in tongues, he intercedes for us in accordance with the will of God. Yes, in accordance with the will of God. It tells us in Jude to pray in the Spirit and so build yourself up. Then we look at the scripture from John 7, 37 to 39. Very interesting. I've quoted this so many times, and I learned something just yesterday. On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood up and exclaimed, "Let anyone who thirsts come to me and drink." Do you thirst for him? Do you thirst for him? "Let everyone who thirsts come to me and drink. As the scripture said, rivers of living water will flow from within him who believes in he." I always thought of it as a river, but it's not a river. It's rivers, pure, plural. Rivers of living water will flow from within him who believes in me and who's thirsty. He said this in reference to the Holy Spirit that those who came to believe in him were to receive. There was, of course, no Holy Spirit yet, because Jesus had not been glorified. Isn't it funny that when the Spirit comes, he will glorify Jesus? Isn't it funny that God calls us to have rivers of living water flowing from our innermost being? Rivers. Oh, Father, I call upon the name of Jesus that you would baptize us in the Holy Spirit, that you would have from our innermost beings rivers of living waters flowing, 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 flowing. Oh, yes, Lord. We do not celebrate the giving of the law. We celebrate the giving of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. And today is the day of Pentecost. We are in absolute need of that wonderful Holy Spirit. We are in need of that Spirit who glorifies Jesus, who tells us of the future. We are in need of the Holy Spirit, who is the one that makes bread and wine and converts it into the body and blood of Christ. We are in need of the Holy Spirit, who makes the Word of God alive in us. We are in need of the Holy Spirit. Oh God, you said, "Anyone who thirsts, come to me and drink." Lord Jesus, we thirst. We thirst for you. We thirst for you. We thirst for your Spirit. We thirst that rivers of living water would flow from our being. We pray in the name of Jesus, the Lord. By the end of this week, I'm going to need $6,000 to pay for the bills in April. So if you have been blessed by programs like this, please help us so that we will not be in debt. I need $6,000 so that we can pay our April bills. And then when June starts, we start to pay our May bills. The address is Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. That's Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. I want to invite you to the School of the Holy Spirit, which will take place at Holy Rosary between the 19th of July and the 25th of July. We do this every year, and we have people that are blessed. They come and they are blessed. We want to pray for cool weather, that the Lord would give us coolness during those days, the 19th to the 25th. If you are interested, you may call this number, 617-846-1210, 617-846-1210. And we'll take your name down and we'll call you back, 617-846-1210. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit, "Behold the handmaid of the Lord, let it be done unto me according to your word." And the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth, that all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus is the name of the Lord. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.